Peter White, how are you this afternoon?
I'm very good. Thank you, Monica. It's lovely to talk to you this afternoon.
Oh, that I feel the same way, Peter. Thank you. I know you're a busy man, but I got to ask you, after all these years, how does it feel to have just released a little over a week ago your 14th album? Like, how does that feel?
I'm thrilled, you know, that I'm still here making music. I still have the opportunity to reach people, and people are still coming to the shows and waiting to meet me afterwards and telling me which songs they like. You know, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled that after 40 years in the music business, I'm now at this point where I feel like I'm established and that people appreciate my music. You know, what could be better? This is what we're all striving for as musicians.
Well, you have definitely, you hit it nailed on, because you, I don't think it took you 40 years. I think you were loved and appreciated and all those things well before now, Peter. But I mean, I guess it does say something, because that's longevity. That's legendary kind of things. Those are the things that legends are made of.
I think so. I think it's nice. I think it's nice to be a one-hit wonder, but it's also nice if you can keep going and just keep making the music year after year after year.
Yes,
and I feel very lucky that I'm able to do that.
And that I wanted to ask you, what is it that drives you to keep performing and making music for these all these decades into your career?
It's definitely seeing the reaction of the fans. Definitely, when I do show, when I see people smiling and nodding their heads and the applause, you know, this is what keeps me going. If I wasn't getting that, I don't know that I would continue.
Wow.
I might do it as a hobby. you know, also I always make a point of, you know, coming out after the show to meet people, and that's when I really get in touch with the people who are following me and following my music and seeing what they're thinking and seeing what they're feeling about the music.
Well, I know for a fact, Peter, that you are so loved by so many different people, such a diverse group of people. Your fans are just, you know, they cross all lines of everything, because I've, you know, and you're right. I've seen you after shows. I've seen you perform, and I've seen you after you perform, and I've seen you engaging with your fans. And there's nothing like that when artists do that. It does make it forms a bond and a connection.
Yeah, I'm just very, very grateful to people who come out, because, you know, they could stay home and they could watch their big screen TV and their surround sound system, and they could be well entertained at home. But you know what? They come out to see the show, and that means so much to me. So I always want to stay behind and meet everybody, because I figured if you've made that much trouble to come to see a show, you can have anything you want.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's fabulous.
Of my time.
Right.
I'm giving away the shirt on my back. But
yeah, I was just getting ready to say that. Are you going to give him a shirt off your back? How about, are you going to give him your sandals, Peter? No.
The sandals is something that, you know, I need those sandals. I always need more.
Right.
Yeah, sandals become, you know, people think it's a fashion statement, and it's really not. It's just that my feet are most comfortable in the sandals. And when I wear shoes and socks, I feel like my feet feel very confined. They get very hot, and they feel like they're going to explode. So it's best for me to wear sandals all the time.
Well, do you wear them year round, even in the cold? Like, if you're somewhere where it's cold, do you still wear them?
Yeah, I might put a pair of socks on if it's snowing.
Well,
it's really, really cold for me to actually put shoes on.
Well, you know, it's ironically, we had this conversation in person a few weeks ago about shoes, and so I admire the fact that, you know, somebody might think it's a fashion statement, but it is. It's Peter's fashion statement. And so you're making a mark in the music industry. You've already done that. Now you're making a mark in fashion, because that is Peter's thing, and everybody knows that is Peter White's thing.
Yeah, and in fact, sometimes I have played shows in the past with my shoes on, and people in the audience start shouting for me to take them off.
Really?
Take off your shoes. Yeah, yeah. It became a thing, you know.
Well, yes, yeah, see, so
I
you...
I take off my shoes, and then in the end I said, well, why bother wearing shoes?
Right. You can't stop now. Yeah, now, I mean, if the crowd's going to chant for you to take them off, then I guess you cannot go back. You can't go back.
Yeah.
Is there a formula, Peter, when you are going into the creative record-making process, is there a formula, or do you just kind of naturally and let it be organic?
That's a good question. If there was a formula, then I could probably write it down and sell it. And everybody would be able to do it. No, the only formula I have, Monica, is that I want to record songs that move me.
Ooh.
So I go back into my past sometimes. Like, a lot of the songs on my new album were written quite a while ago, and they were not finished. And I go back into the vault, and I look at the songs that I haven't finished, and if there's anything that moves me, that's what I'm going to work on. I have to be moved.
Wow.
That's my only form. If I'm moved when I hear the song, then I think that possibly people who hear the song will also be moved in a similar way. And that's my only formula. Really.
That is absolutely perfect, spot on. Perfect, because you're right. If you're moved and if you feel it, it does come across. I mean, what better formula is there? I can't think of another one. But don't sell it. Be quiet. We'll keep it a secret.
Well, there could be a formula. We'll start with this drum rhythm. Start with this beat.
Right.
135 beats per minute. Boom, boom, boom.
Right.
And then.
Yeah, that's no fun. That's no fun. Well, tell me, what is the best advice you've ever been given over these 40 years? The best piece of advice.
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know if I remember the answer.
It's okay.
I don't know that I was ever given advice
or guidance.
I was given a lot of orders.
Okay.
Like, do this. No, one of the things that helped me so much in my career is when my father started me on piano lessons when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because to this day, I write a lot of songs on the piano.
Okay. Okay.
I find it easier to record on the piano than on the guitar. The guitar I put on the top, it's pretty, it's on the top, but the meat of the song is really the keyboard.
Oh.
And it wasn't a piece of advice that my father gave me. It was, Lord, if you practice the piano, that helped me immensely. And I would say to any young musician, if you want a career in music, learn to play the piano. Even if you play the saxophone, even if you're a singer, learn to play the piano, because you'll be in there, in the heart of the arrangement of the music. You'll be able to participate when somebody brings a song to you. Say, well, let's try this. No, let's try this. And if you're singing mm-hmm. the piano, you can actually play it. Yeah, let's try this. Because that happens all the time in the recording studio.
Wow.
Trying different things. And very often, we'll stand around the piano.
Well, you've just given some advice that may be the best advice that to someone who hears this, because that's pretty I think you're absolutely right. I can't even argue with that, because I agree. As a singer, I agree with you. Totally agree with you. Wow. Thank you. So thank you to your father, and thank you for giving that piece of advice to someone.
I'm good at giving advice, you know.
well, thank you.
I'm not going to take. I've had some advice later in my career. Like, one day my agent said to me, "Hey, do you know this lady, Mindy Abear?" I go, "Yeah, I met her once, and I've heard her music. She's really good." Yeah, well, you know what? It'd be great if you two could do some shows together. In fact, that's how my Christmas tour started.
Wow.
Which I'm about to start again at the end of. At the end of November with Mindy and myself. And I didn't know Mindy that well, but on the advice of my agent,
mm-hmm.
we got together and we worked out a show, and that show continues until this day, every year. And Rick Braun joined us on the second year. So we'll be with me, Mindy, and Rick Braun. And in fact, both Mindy and Rick are on my new album, Smile.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. We're going to talk about that. I can't wait. So
it has all my great friends on it, Huge Groove also. And not only are they my best friends, but they're the best musicians in the world.
You must be you have telepathic powers, because my very next I was just getting ready to say you had some friends join you on Smile. I was just getting ready. You know, you did, and you mentioned your some of your peers who are, like you say, some of the best there are.
I'm presenting some of my friends in a way that you're not maybe used to hearing them. Like Miss Mindy, I had her singing on two songs on the album.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not playing the saxophone, she's singing, and she has a beautiful voice.
And see,
so I wanted to.
I love that, because I didn't know she sang. So that was like, whoa, that's Mindy.
Yeah.
So thank you, because you opened up. I mean, I didn't know that. And I've seen Mindy play, and I thought, oh my goodness, she sings and she sounds good.
Yeah, she's a wonderful singer.
So that you know, thank you for that. I mean that and just the fact that you thought outside of the box to introduce, like I say, parts of a musician that maybe we don't get to see.
Yeah, and also I have Huge Groove playing on a couple of songs, and it's the quieter, more contemplative side of Huge.
Mm-hmm.
Not the funky Huge we're hearing. We're hearing the soft, romantic side of Huge.
And what side of Rick are you hearing?
No, Rick just plays like... Rick plays like Rick. Rick's amazing.
Yes.
He's the best trumpet player in the world. And every time I do a show with him, I say, you've just had the best trumpet player in the world, and I mean it.
He is good.
He's fantastic. Who's better? I don't know who's better.
Well, when you do these collaborations, do they always ignite the creativity, even when you're working with the same artist continually? Does it always... still,
yeah.
Bring out more.
We're always doing something new. Hey, let's try this different rhythm or this different song, this
mm-hmm.
different melody. And whenever I hear Rick or Huge or Mindy, it's always new again to me.
Wow,
that's how good they are. You know, I don't think you say the same of everybody, but you know, certainly with those people that I love working with, it's always new.
Well, this time you had a new guest. You had your daughter Charlotte on Smile.
I'm a proud daddy. I think, and I think she is very good on the violin. It's not just because I'm a proud daddy. I think she really is. And I wanted to give her a spot on the album. In fact, she was also on my previous album, the Here We Go album. She
mm-hmm.
played a little bit on that, but kind of in the background. But she's a little bit more on the forefront on this song, which starts off with me, the daddy.
Yes.
On that solo acoustic guitar, and the song builds and builds till at the very end this whole orchestra comes in, led by my daughter on the violin. It's actually not a real orchestra, it's a kind of a synthesized, made-up orchestra, but she's right there at the front with her violin.
So what was that like? Whoa, what was that experience like, Peter?
It's very proud. I'm very proud, of course, to be in the studio with her. She was very nervous, so I was spending my time just trying to make her feel calm. Look, it's okay, dear. Just try it. Just play it, and, you know, just play it a few times, and
mm-hmm.
it'll get better. And, yes, he's getting better. So,
Wow. So is she looking forward to possibly doing it again?
I'm looking forward to doing a lot more recording with my daughter, because I love the sound of when she plays the violin. They had me play a violin when I was a teenager, but I was never any good at it. Anyway, I'd already discovered Jimi Hendrix by that point.
Uh-oh, and once you discover Jimi, it's over.
It was just not hip enough for me. I really just wanted to play electric guitar at that point.
I don't blame you.
There's a whole other story, and then eventually my younger brother Danny set fire to my guitar, not on purpose, but he was playing with matches in
mm-hmm.
my bedroom. But that forced me to go back to playing acoustic, which I've been playing ever since.
And I've mentioned to you before, thank God for your brother, in a sense.
Yeah, I have to thank him now. He also introduced me to a lady called Basha, who we've done many recordings together as well.
Yes, 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 yes.
Wonderful singer. So thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Danny, for sending Peter to that acoustic, back to the good old acoustic guitar. We love it.
I was very upset at the time.
Exactly.
I got over it.
Yes, you did. And now we all thank you and Danny. The you mentioned Huge and Mindy and Rick, but you also worked with Philippe. You worked with Nate Phillips and Charlotte White. And some of these I'm not as familiar with, Ramon. And now the vocalist, Steve-O. When I heard him, I said, oh my goodness, Oh, my goodness.
There's lots of undiscovered talent out there. Steve-O is a guy I met because he was a drummer that was playing with Dave Koz. And I did some shows with Dave. And Steve-O turned out that he was a great singer. So I brought him into the studio to record this album. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I want you to sing this part here. And why don't you hold me close?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then in the middle of the song, he just starts doing his thing. And I said, that's great. Let's do that again. Let's try that a few more times. And, wow, he just made the song, I think.
Oh, it was beautiful.
It was not what we planned, but mm-hmm. That's one of those magic things that happens in the recording studio.
Well, Smile, the title track is such a feel good song. It is such a happy feel good song. What made you choose that as the title?
You know, it's been in my mind
mm-hmm.
for a long time that I would love to have an album cover where I'm not staring into space and I'm not looking down at the ground. But I would love an album cover where I'm actually smiling into the camera. I thought, wouldn't that be nice? And I've never really achieved this.
Mm-hmm.
And all my other albums, I thought, I'm going to do it this time. If I call the album Smile, there's no way I can avoid it.
You can't avoid it. Mm-mm.
So, and coincidentally, there was a song which I had written about 10 years ago called Smile.
Oh!
I just love the way you smile. And the only thing that was wrong with the song was that I was singing it. And I thought, who can I get to sing this that would sound so much better? And of course, Miss Mindy did a wonderful job. I said, she's the person to sing this song. And my friend Steve-O, who I just explained, who was the drummer I met with Dave Koz, mm-hmm. a wonderful voice, they both sang it together.
Well, the
voice is more prominent.
Right, but the two together really, really, like yeah. you said, on Head Over Heels, which is your first single, that is a beautiful, beautiful song. I mean, it's very, very, very nice. And it's very nice to hear the vocals throughout the song. It's just like, you know, it's one of those songs that it's instead of it feels good, but it's warm and fuzzy. You know, it's like, it's cozy.
That's nice. You know, if you can achieve that in a song, I think that's something, you've got something there.
Well, you did it. And Head Over Heels, along with a few others, you wrote about a friend's daughter. And how did that come about? What was that about?
A friend of mine in England, his name is Hugh, he says, I have my daughter's turning 21, and he said, I think it would be really nice if you could write a song for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I don't know if I've... And he said, present it to her birthday, I'm going to fly you fly me to Las Vegas, where they were having a birthday party for their friend. And I said, well, I don't have time to write a song. I said, but there's a song that has been in my mind for a long time, mm-hmm. 20 years, that I think I would dedicate to her and call it Jordan's Song.
Wow.
Jordan. And this is a song, by the way, that I wrote way back when I first discovered Joe Sample.
Ooh.
And I thought his playing was so beautiful and so melodic mm-hmm. that I started to write something that was similar, that I wondered if one day I could play this on the guitar and it would have the same effect. And, you know, we all know that Joe passed away with
yes.
his heart.
Yes.
What a wonderful person, what a wonderful talent.
And you know what, Peter? Actually, that happened the night I last saw you in Newport. I was actually, you guys were on stage when that message came through on my phone.
Oh my goodness.
Literally, honestly, that is the honest truth. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. That's a wow moment. Whew.
Well, but in some way, I think, you know, Joe's spirit lives on and his music certainly lives on. And I don't mind saying that this song, which was, I renamed it Awakening because I thought it needed a good title.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know who Jordan was.
Mm-hmm.
Awakening, it starts with a little drum beat that sounds like a heartbeat to me. And it sounds like someone waking up after a long sleep and then spreading their wings and awakening into a whole new kind of life.
Wow. Wow.
Inspired by Joe.
Wow. Wow. Well, he's definitely, like you say, here with us. He will always be here with us. And I'm sure is very proud of that that not necessarily tribute, but tribute, if you will. You wrote Beautiful Love, which I told you is one. It's like my favorite, one of my favorites on the CD, in honor of Barry White.
Yes, I was certainly influenced by Barry White, and I remember exactly where I was when I first heard Barry back in England in my little hometown of Letchworth, Scotland. Mm-hmm. And this drum beat, just this groove, just kept going and going, and I'm thinking, where does the song start? I'm not used to this. I'm used to hearing a song start within 5 seconds,
mm-hmm.
and yet with Barry, he was in no hurry. He just wanted to kind of lift you along, just get you in the mood. So I think, why don't I do a similar thing and have a guitar melody instead? For the longest time, when I wrote this song, I just called it Barry. Because I didn't have a title. And then my co-producer, DC, came up with this Beautiful Love. I said, yeah, you know what? That's what Barry was all about. He was all about love.
He was. Love. Yes, he was.
Love guru.
He was the love guru, wasn't he?
And his music still lives on. And what great music. And I was just hoping to capture some of that spirit that Barry had in his groove.
Oh, well, you did, because it is a sexy, sexy, groovy kind of... It can't be a ballad, but if you could put ballad with no words, that's what it would be.
Yeah, you can make your own words.
Yes, you can. It's beautiful. And then you did Don Quixote's Final Quest as a tribute to a song by Mason Williams. So
yeah, this is a song the song by Mason Williams, Classical Gas,
mm-hmm.
which totally inspired me. That was about the time that my brother incinerated my electric guitar, I think. Because that song came out, and he was a guy playing acoustic guitar, but he was playing with all his fingers instead of just strumming. And that's, I'm used to hearing the guitar played by, you know, strumming,
mm-hmm.
yet he's using all his fingers on it. And I said, wow, I want to learn to play like that. So he totally influenced me. And that song is a great song, and it's still, I think, the most played, the most commercially successful instrumental song of all time.
Wow.
Classical Gas. So I think I was certainly influenced by that song when I did Don Quixote's Final Quest.
Well, you have a lot of personal touches and messages throughout this album, Smile, which also makes it special in its own way. I told you, I think the entire project is just special in its own way. And adding these personal touches like you did, and these personal stories of people that we know and that, like Barry, and then your friend's daughter, Jordan, and then, you know, including Charlotte, it's kind of, it does make it a really endearing, you know, just a beautiful, beautiful project. But aside from that, Peter, now this is what I want you to tell me. I want you to tell me if there is any human alive that has not heard of Peter White. How?
Yes. A lot of people.
What would you tell them? How would you, if you could, in a few words, describe Smile?
I'm not good like
this. I mean, like, yeah. What? How would you put it in words?
These are the songs that I've picked. Some of them going back 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've picked the best songs that I've written that have never been released in the last 20 years, and they all move me in different ways.
Wow. And see? Perfect.
I hope that I've presented them in a way that will inspire and move people who hear it. I think you've been inspired by my Barry White.
Oh, I have been inspired. I am inspired by Beautiful Love and Head Over Heels. I'm inspired by the whole thing. But that song really, really, it takes me places. It takes me to a whole nother place, and I love it. Now this is kind of off topic, but I want you to think really hard about this question. What is Peter White's superpower? What is your superpower? Or if you could have one, what would it be?
to know. I was going to say immediately without thinking to know what people are thinking. But that's not always a good thing.
That would be called.
You know what?
What?
I'm getting something here. I'm getting something. To be able to play music in a way that makes people feel good to be alive.
Oh.
That's the superpower right there.
It is, because that could save lives.
It's not about me playing the guitar to impress you about how well I can play the guitar. That's not it. It's about how I can play the guitar or any instrument or write any song that, when people hear it, it enriches their life and makes them feel glad.
Oh.
That is a superpower that I want.
You're giving me chills. I love it. I love it. Because that alone, Peter, I just had it. That alone could save lives. I mean, you just don't, you know, on a bad day, could make their day, you know, could turn their life around. So yes, that's a superpower.
Oh, music can do that. It certainly can.
Well, thank you. I like that superpower. Now, when you have so much, you know, your longevity is evident. You have so many more years to go at this music thing. When it's all said and done, Peter, what do you hope your legacy will be?
Oh, this is written on my tombstone. Peter White. He was a good bloke. That's in English. He was a good bloke that played music that we all liked, or that a lot of people liked.
That's your tombstone.
It'd be nice if I, you know, a lot of people, it's funny, a lot of people go pass on and not really much to remember them for.
Yes, yes.
And it's kind of sad.
Yes, yes.
You know, like I think about my dad, and, you know, he passed away 12 years ago. And he left me with a lot of memories, and left a lot of people with a lot of memories.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really much tangible. Like, if you were to go on the internet,
mm-hmm.
my dad, you wouldn't find anything. You know, so I just hope that I've created music that lives on, and it will outlive me, and it will make the world a better place. That's what we all hope.
Yes,
as musicians.
That's beautiful, Peter.
I mean, would Mozart believe that his music was still being played?
Nope. No.
200-300 years 300 years later?
Nope. Oh. No. Mm-mm. But that's the mark of a true legend. I mean, like they say, people, for example, you got your Elvises and your Michael Jacksons who after their death are doing better, almost as good as they were when they were alive, or, you know, just are still thriving years later. It's incredible. So I like that. I like the entire idea. I think it's beautiful, because your message, what you're saying, you know, it's not about Peter. It's not about Peter. It's about the music.
Yeah, it's certainly not about me. And I've never felt that, even when I do a show, I never felt that it's about me. I felt that it's about the music, and it's about the people, about the audience, and how they react to it.
Well, as you take Smile on the road, what's next? What's the rest of the year looking like for Smile and Peter? Well, I know you have the your Christmas tour coming up. So
the Christmas tour starts the day before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
In Houston, Texas, and it takes us all around and about, and all the dates are on my web page,
which is
peterwhite.com.
Okay.
But it's very easy to find. And, you know, follow me on Facebook. You'll see what I'm doing. I'm going to England before that. I go and play a little club in England.
Oh.
Called the Pizza Express Jazz Club. And I play there every year in November.
Okay.
And it holds 110 people, maybe 115 at the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I love playing there to the English audience. And I go there and I play. I'm playing 6 nights.
Wow. A nice intimate setting.
It's very intimate.
Yes.
If you want to come and see an intimate Peter White show, come to London.
Come all the way to London. You got to go all the way to London.
Yes.
Now, and is that going to be Smile?
Pardon me?
Is that going to be where you're going to, is that before your Christmas tour?
That's before the Christmas
tour. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Beginning of November is my English tour, and then at the end of November is when I start the Christmas tour in the U.S.
Okay. Well, you're just going to, I mean, you, and then on into 2015, of course, Smile will just be really, really, really settling in and picking up steam.
In January, I'm doing a 4 nights in Seattle, and I'm doing a weekend in Florida in February. I know. I'm just trying to remember things. And March the 1st, I go on the Smooth Jazz Cruise.
Oh, yes,
to the Caribbean.
Yes, 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 the Smooth Jazz Cruise. And I love Demetrio's. Are you going to be Demetrio's in Seattle? I love Demetrio's. Is that where you'll be in Seattle?
Oh, yeah, in Seattle, yeah. You love it.
Love Demetrio.
Love that place. I always say, if it's January, it's Peter White at Jazz Alley.
Right, but guess what? That's also intimate, though. Jazz Alley is an intimate setting.
It is very intimate. It's the best jazz club, I think. There's not a bad seat, and 300 people can get in there easily, and there's no sight line problems. Everyone can see very well.
Oh, yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. I love it. Well, I can tell you this. You, your fans can keep up with you on Facebook and on your website, peterwhite.com. Do you happen to have a Twitter, Peter White?
I do have a Twitter.
Oh, my.
Peter White GTR.
I'm so happy.
I don't Twitter that much, but you see, even saying that, you realize I don't, because you're supposed to say tweet. But pretty much what I tweet is the same as what goes on my Facebook page.
Right.
Me with people I'm playing with, pictures of me drinking beer, all sorts of funny things.
Honey, I've seen Peter in the airport. I've seen Peter just in the airport, yeah. Just passing through, just random.
It's my life. I know a lot of airports.
And did I see you recently, Peter, in a telephone booth? Were you in a telephone booth?
I was posing next to a telephone booth, which was a red British telephone booth, which was set up in the Dallas or the Cleveland airport. I can't remember. It was like a British pub, and they had a British telephone booth, very distinctive red color one.
Outside. I saw it. I saw that. It was so cute. I said, Peter knows how to pose. Don't ever say Peter does not know how to capture a wonderful moment, even in the airport, because you have done that many, many times. Peter, I love it. You have. Well, I hope I catch. If I don't catch, I'm sad I may not catch that Christmas tour, but maybe I'll catch you. I caught you with Jazz Attack. So now I got to catch you doing Smile somewhere next year. I'm going to catch it because I cannot wait to be in the crowd when you play these songs live. Oh, my goodness, from this album. I can't even imagine. So if
I'm just now adding these songs to my show, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, I can't wait. And
when I get the audience to sing, I just love the way you smile.
Uh-oh. Now we're going to get some crowd participation.
Yeah, it's a very easy song to learn.
Well, see, this is why we love Peter, and this is why I'm looking forward to hearing you again, even though I just saw you a few weeks ago. I cannot, it's never enough. I appreciate it, Peter. Thank you, first of all, for this wonderful project. Again, thank you. It is extremely and extraordinarily, it moves me. I can tell you that. So, mission accomplished.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Monica. You've made my day.
Well, you made mine, because I think I played it about 20 times this morning. So,
wow.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I played it, and I'm going to play it again, you know, when I got the phone and on into to the weekend. So, I mean, and I'll keep playing it, because it is just a fabulous, fabulous project. And I thank you, Peter, for your time. And you go enjoy Charlotte. And we look forward to even hearing Charlotte some more in the future.
Certainly will.
And
you... violin playing daughter.
Yes, before you know it, she will be starting the song off, and you'll have to follow her.
That's right. Yeah, she was 13, you know, when she recorded on Smile. She was 13. She just turned 14 now.
Oh, you have a teenager. I have two of those, so I know.
Okay.
Two of them. Oh my goodness. So you take it easy and you get some rest before you head to England and to your Christmas tour. And I will keep up with you definitely via social media, Peter. And I will be in touch, and I appreciate it again. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Monica.
Have a good evening, okay?
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.